walk through these five verses. Hopefully bring some clarification to them. Because if you notice, in the second verse, it says, carry one another's burdens. And then in the fifth verse, it says, for each person will carry his own load. All right, Paul. Bipolar Paul, right? Like, okay, carry one another's burdens, but everybody has to carry their own load. No, like, he has meaning behind this, and we're going to get into it. Galatians 6:1. This is the contrast and motivation that I'm talking about between looking out for somebody and looking into somebody. When Paul says brothers, and he, a lot of times, Paul, I think, will use the term brothers in order to get our attention, okay? When he says brothers, he means brothers and sisters, okay? That's a kind of a language thing that whenever they refer to male and female, they just use the masculine, okay? But brothers. And when he says this, he wants to get our attention. Just like that. He wants to get our attention. Because he wants our ears to perk and he wants us to have some ownership in this. Because if he calls me brother, and that means I have some vested interest here. That means that I am under the same Lord, the same God, that I know him to be talking about. I'm a follower of Jesus. He wants to get our attention. He says, brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so you won't be tempted also. Here's the contrast of motivation. In John chapter 8, I'm going to use a biblical story to illustrate this. In John chapter 8, we have the account of these religious leaders that catch a woman in adultery. They catch her, like, red-handed. She's caught. There's no denying it. And they bring her out into public, and they're getting ready to stone this woman. They're getting ready to throw rocks at her until she doesn't breathe anymore, right? And it's within the law. It's within their right to do this. But if you know the story of John chapter 8, Jesus doesn't let it happen. You see, they were looking, all they could see was a sin in her life, and all they wanted to do was make an example of her. They wanted to exploit what she had been doing, and they wanted other people to see how bad she was and how holy they were. These religious leaders that had taken her out and were ready to throw rocks at her. They wanted to show how bad she was and how good they were in comparison. Right? Motivation, we wouldn't say, is the best in the world. But Jesus steps into the situation. And they try to put Jesus in a trap. They try to trip him up with the things they say and the things they ask. But all Jesus says is, okay, guys, the one without sin, the one who's never done anything wrong in his whole life, you can throw the first stone. And it says they have the stones ready in their hands and they just begin to drop them one by one. And walk away. But Jesus didn't just leave it at that and say, you know what, you're human, it happens, you can't help it, right? You just, young lady, you know, it happens. Go along your merry way. Jesus didn't do that. What did he do? Anybody remember the story? Jesus said, go and what? Sin no more. Right? See, this is the difference in motivation. Brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, like a woman caught or a man caught in adultery, you who are spiritual, Jesus, maybe not the religious leaders, you who are spiritual, those under the influence and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, of God's Holy Spirit, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit. A gentle spirit. What does that mean? A few months ago, we walked through the fruit of the Spirit. And that if we have God's Holy Spirit residing within us, then one of the things that is evidence of that Holy Spirit residing in us is gentleness. And we define gentleness as power under control. And I want you to think of it this way. All right, even if you've never been a parent or not a parent of a toddler, has anybody ever been around a toddler? Anybody? Like everybody? Okay, one time or another. Okay, good. Hopefully 99% of us, right? You've been around a toddler. And you know, it's amazing to me. Do you know what toddlers are fascinated by? Babies. They are fascinated by babies. Do you want to watch a parent get nervous? Not only the parent of a baby, but a parent of a toddler. When a toddler walks over to a little baby and they're in the little carriage and this baby's, you know, they're 2 weeks old and they're so cute and tiny. And they know the power of their toddler, right? They know the toddler doesn't understand their power, but they understand the power. And all you can hear the parent of the toddler is say, gentle, 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 right? Like trying not to make a big deal of it. Because they know, in their showing of love, they can rear back and whack that little baby in the face, just like they do with mom and dad sometimes, just when they're excited. They know what can happen. But they're saying gentle because they want that toddler to understand power under control, right? They want that toddler to understand how you express love to a little defenseless baby. Those who are spiritual, you who are spiritual, should restore such a person with a gentle spirit. That means that if someone is caught, now that means someone that maybe they've had something in their life that they've been trying to keep hidden for a long time and it becomes exposed, or maybe it's something that it was a spur of the moment thing and they just got overwhelmed and overtaken with temptation and just they lost control. And they're caught in it. Doesn't mean that we bring them and we throw them in front of the church and we just say, oh, how bad you are and how good we are. It's not the easiest thing. And most of us, the first thing we think of, maybe when sin becomes apparent in a brother or sister's life, the first thing we think of is, could have done without knowing that. Because if we're a follower of Jesus, we understand it's my responsibility to say, brother, I know it appears you're struggling. And I know you know that's not the way. But I can't just sit here and not say something or not do something, is what Paul tells us in Galatians 6. He says that if they're caught, if something happens and wrongdoing comes to the surface, then it's our responsibility as a community of believers to have mutual accountability, that we are to go to that person with a gentle spirit. And he says, you know what, we need to watch out. We need to watch out so that we don't fall into temptation. And I think, yes, it can mean that if we catch somebody that we don't need to be tempted to join them in what they're doing. But I think what really Paul's meaning is that we don't fall into the temptation of pride. That as we go in, as we go with a gentle and humble spirit, with power under control, to approach our brother or sister in private, okay? Let's maybe remember that key term, in private. As we approach them with a gentle and humble spirit, that we're to watch out that we don't fall to the sin of pride. That I don't begin comparing myself to them. And saying, well, I'm the one that's approaching you about your sin, brother, and that's unfortunate that you made that decision that I would never make in my whole life. That's obviously not the heart that Paul says we're to have. He says, watch out for the sin of pride. Don't not only watch out for the thing to fall into what they're doing, but be careful that you don't start taking pride in yourself. He says in verse 2, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry one another's burdens. You see, this mutual accountability means that I say, brother, if I stumble, I want you to talk with me. Sister, if you stumble, then I want to love you, brother or sister, enough to approach you. It's mutual accountability within the family of God, within brothers and sisters in Christ. We live in community, that means relationship with one another. What each of us does and goes through should affect the community. We're to bear one another's burdens. And when we do this, when we bear one another's burdens, when we try to take some of the load off of someone's back, then it says we are fulfilling the law of Christ. And Jesus told us in John 13:35, he tells us that the world will know you because of the love you have for each other. They'll know you belong to me because of the way you love each other. And that includes walking in those hard and maybe some of those awkward times. You say, I don't really want to talk to him about this. I don't want to go there. Can I share with you a quick example? Two guys that were roommates, actually there were three roommates in Bible school. And did you know that two of the roommates kept coming home and they kept smelling smoke? They started to smell smoke in the apartment. They just thought, and all three of them were Bible school students. They kept smelling smoke, and these two guys began to talk about it and say, you know what, man, I don't know. Like, our third roommate, he works in a gas station. He, you know, I'm sure he's just around lots of smoke, but man, it's not just the coat room that when you walk in the door, it's like the whole apartment is starting to smell like smoke. And so they looked at each other, and one buddy, such a great buddy, he looked at the other one and said, okay, you deal with it. Awesome. So, roommate, we'll call him roommate number two because he drew the short end of the stick here. One day when he came in, the third roommate was sitting on the couch and watching a little Oprah. I don't know. Watching a little Oprah. And he said, roommate number two said, okay, man, I don't know. Have you noticed that the apartment's starting to smell a bit like smoke lately? Like, just about cigarettes. And, like, I know that you work at a gas station. I don't know if it's coming on your clothes or what. And you know what he said? He said, I've been wondering when you guys would figure it out. I've been smoking. He was waiting for his brothers to approach him on this subject. Now, could have thrown him at the feet of the school, could have done lots of different things, but these two guys decided, you know what, let's offer to try to help this guy quit, because, I mean, if the Bible school finds out this guy's smoking, it's not going to go good for him. Don't want to hide it, but we want to try to help him out of the predicament that he's in. Okay? Anyway, when you go with a gentle and humble spirit, most of the time it means that you're not relishing the conversation you're about to have. It means that you're not looking forward to looking into somebody's life and sticking your finger and saying, I gotcha. But you're looking out for them to say, brother, I hurt for you because of the choices that you're making. What can we do to walk with you? Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3. If anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he is deceiving himself. What's he mean? He means that if you think you're so important or you're so holy or you're so good that you can't lower yourself to the point of going and bearing your brother or sister's burden, that you can't go to them and talk with them, whether it's about sin in their life or whether it's about an extremely hard circumstance in their life, that you can't just go and say, you know what, let's bring a meal over, let's go to coffee, let's talk, let's do something. If I can't lower myself, okay, and by the way, you're not lowering yourself at all, but if your view is that I can't lower myself to that person's level, then you're fooling yourself. You think you're more important than you are. We're all in this together. We have a mutual accountability. If you can't be bothered to stoop down and bear the burden of a brother or sister, you're only important in your own esteem. That's what Paul's saying. Verse 4, but each person should examine his own work. Then he will have a reason for boasting in himself alone and not in respect to someone else. Okay, again, can be a little bit misleading when you first read this passage. Okay, so I'm supposed to do good so that I can think I'm really awesome. That's what that means. That's not what that means. Verse 4, let me read it one more time. Each person should examine his own work. Then he will have a reason for boasting in himself alone and not in respect to someone else. What they're saying is, take an inventory of your life, of your actions, of the things that you've been doing, the way that you've been living, and bring them to the only judge, the one true living God, the God that is in control of our lives, the God that we follow. Bring it and say, God, does this measure up? Is this pleasing to you? What he's saying, don't do. He says, if each person should examine his own work, and then he will have a reason for boasting and say, God, I want to glorify you with everything that I am for boasting in himself alone, not in respect to somebody else, because other people are not our measuring stick. They're not. Because we're always going to fall short of some people. And we're always going to be able to, if we look, we're always going to be able to find somebody else that we look better than. People are not our measuring stick. Now again, this is in our eyes and our esteem. People are not our measuring stick. God alone and His standards are alone our measuring stick. Verse 5. Here's where it seems a little bit contradictory. Each person will have to carry his own load. It seems contrary to what Paul just said in verse 2 about carry one another's burdens. Okay? Carry each other's burdens, but everybody has to carry their own load. This is where mutual accountability meets personal responsibility. Okay? One person put it this way. They said, you know, if I have a family, I've got a wife, I've got two kids, and I have car trouble, my car breaks down, I can ask my neighbor or I can ask somebody from church to help take my kids to school or help get them around while I get my car fixed. I can ask them to help with some of my responsibilities, but I'm not going to ask them to be my kid's father. Right? That's my awesome responsibility. They don't become my kid's dad. When we find someone and maybe they're struggling with sin, maybe they're struggling with some sort of wrongdoing, and we talk to them about it, we can try to bear some of the load, we can try to bear some of the burden and walk with them through it, but you know what we can't do? We can't make them do anything. Can't make them stop. Can't make them change their mind, which is what repent means. Literally, to change your mind, to change your course. Can't make them do that. But we can try to lighten the load along the way as they seek to change their mind. Other people can lighten our load along the way as we seek to change our mind, as we seek for God to change our character. It says, for each person will have to carry his own load. Says, look, we're to walk with each other, try to lighten that load as much as we can. We're to pray for each other. We're to encourage each other. We're to love one another. All those things that we talked about before, we're to be hospitable to one another without complaining. But it doesn't mean that I can give up my personal responsibility and my own walk with God and my walk with God, with the people of God. It doesn't mean that I can abandon that responsibility. And when we talk about one another, we talk about mutual accountability and we talk about personal responsibility, and we can't get away from either. Mutual accountability and personal responsibility. Can't make the roommate stop smoking. Offer to help. Offer to walk with them. And insert whatever struggle you want. Mutual accountability. Personal responsibility. We are mutually accountable and personally responsible. And I want to ask questions. Do I open myself up to mutual accountability? Because see, that means that not only do I have to be willing to invest in other people's life and help other people and walk with other people, but I have to be willing to open myself up so that other people can walk with me and invest in me. And sometimes that means them having the faith to have a hard conversation with me if it need be. And me being receptive to that. And me being willing to have a hard conversation with a brother or sister. Is my life open? Do I open myself up to mutual accountability? And Lord, am I living in a way that shows personal responsibility? Am I living in a way not only that honors you, but honors you by taking up the personal responsibility I have in this church family, that I have within your body of believers, with my brothers and sisters? Am I taking personal responsibility? Do I open my life to mutual accountability? And am I living in a way that shows personal responsibility?